With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Thanks for listening and for being a part of Jason Q's Citizen and Friends on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. TNT.
Welcome back to the program and welcome back to Jason Q, Citizen and Friends. It's terrific to be with you, and it has been a disjointed week last week, firstly just being a bit unwell, and that would probably be because I'd planned a family trip to Canberra. It seems every time I try to get to Canberra, Canberra doesn't want me to get there, whether I'm trying to get down there for business, get down there for a holiday, or get down there to get elected and to change the country for the better. Canberra rejected me. However, this time it couldn't keep me away, and what a terrific little trip it was. Many highlights, including, of course, the War Memorial, and remembering that when you wander through those hallowed halls and look at all of the names of our lost soldiers on the walls, remembering, of course, that they died for our freedom and not for our safety. It is undergoing a renovation and there's some improvements, but it felt like some of the exhibits had disappeared. Old Parliament House for mine was the highlight, and it is now known as the Museum of Australian Democracy. And whilst it may hide the sins of the past, it also harks back to a vintage age in Australia's innocence. And the memories are so thick as you walk through and admire the brown wooden panelled walls, the tiny offices of the backbenches, which look like closets and held three staff in them. You get to sit inside the Prime Minister's office, and then again the tiny change rooms, the little tiny tiles, and the old-fashionedness of it all. It was cheap and nasty, but it was shabby chic, as just magical, really. But to sit in the old cabinet room and just imagine what it would have been like to make decisions all the way up there to 1988 was pretty special. And another little highlight is the embassy tour, where you can take a tour around all the various different embassies and look at the architecture of these different buildings from different countries. It's a wonderful way. It's a very, very wonderful holiday to get out there to the nation's capital and just get amongst it all. Of course, there's a lot of news going on. Haven't missed out on any of that. But Arizona, watch the water. We were told, weren't we? Carrie Lake, if she doesn't become governor, she may well become vice president in 2024. Yep, you heard it here first. She's almost a certainty now to pair with Trump. She is something else, and everyone who sees how she works knows that she is a politician in waiting, and a politician you will not want to mess with. And you can just imagine how she's going to debate against Kamala Harris and put an end to Kamala's career, almost as if Tulsi Gabbard is in the room with her, like she did in the primaries, of course, and made Kamala Harris give up the run to be president. Now, in Arizona, there are now four counties that have refused to certify the election, and this has caused a whole lot of friction. And a volunteer attorney for the Lake campaign has contacted one of the attorneys in charge, who has then got short, threatened, swore, and accused the inquirer of threatening him. So where there is smoke, there is fire. And Carrie Lake is just one of the warriors fighting for all of this. So these counties, Gila County, Yavapai, Cochise, and of course I'm getting all their pronunciations wrong, and Navajo are the four the four counties that have now delayed certification. Truly, truly extraordinary. Now, if we look at what's going on from last week in the Trump updates, of course, he takes the stage at 9 p.m. and Joe Biden takes the stage in the war room at the exact same time. Everyone was expecting a huge announcement. And of course, what Trump did was force the deep state to show their hand. Trump filed his 2024 FEC paperwork. Biden announces the Poland missile was from Ukraine. And the deep state was so scared it almost dropped its false flag World War III card. And I tell you what, Zelensky is not out of the frame right now, because if he either went and did it himself, was forced to throw that missile over the fence, and that seems to be what it was, then he should be sent to The Hague and tried for crimes against humanity. So what do we know? Trump's running. Florida went red, went bright red. Elon Musk took over Twitter. The majority conservatives in the Supreme Court, control of the House, Roe versus Wade overturned, Republicans win the popular vote, Nancy Pelosi's fired, the parents are at long last fighting back. Goodness me, what a time it is to be alive. But always keep an eye on this deep state. They don't quit. And of course, this is the point. But FTX is also the big elephant in the room. And as I said last week on the show, it is bigger than Enron, bigger than Bernie Madoff, and all of the dirty, greasy hands are all over it, aren't they? It's truly incredible. The Democrats just can't get out of their own way at the moment. And in another stunning piece of news, Victorian's Nationals candidate, Sean Gilchrist, has died at the age of 47. His body was found in bushland in Victoria, yet not treated as suspicious. But meanwhile, it was a week before he was due to go to court in regional Victoria on rape charges. This is a truly extraordinary story that's going on and very, very sad for the Gilchrist family, who has asked for privacy and respect during their time of grief. This report coming from the Age newspaper. Now, at TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we've got you covered on TNT Radio.
News and talk you can count on.
I can rely on that.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
NATO's Parliamentary Assembly has adopted a largely symbolic resolution calling on member nations to label Russia a terrorist state, claiming Moscow represents a direct threat to Euro-Atlantic security. Here with more on the story is one of the news producers here at TNT Radio, Jeremy Beck. Welcome.
Thanks, Jason. Yes, well, NATO's Parliamentary Assembly also demanded additional rounds of military assistance to Ukraine and to end restrictions on the forward deployment of NATO forces. The declaration was passed by the NATO Parliamentary Assembly on Monday, with the body warning that the Euro-Atlantic area is no longer at peace and that the global security environment has deteriorated rapidly. And Russia's military operation was denounced in the strongest terms. Now, the resolution made several requests to NATO members, asking them to state clearly that the Russian state under the current regime is a terrorist one, and to increase military, intelligence, financial, training, and humanitarian support to Ukraine, including by accelerating arms shipments. But I think there's a couple of disturbing things in this resolution, Jason. I think one of the disturbing things is they're calling for NATO to, quote, sustain this support for as long as it takes for Ukraine to prevail, end quote. So that's quite disturbing, because they're just not giving up. They, you know, it's not going to happen as long as it takes. Well, that means as long as we take to go to World War III. Another disturbing thing is that in addition to having a complete hysterical freak out against Russia and calling Russia a terrorist state, it also went on to talk about China and called for the alliance, the NATO alliance, to develop a common allied response to the increasing assertiveness of China, which I see as a precursor to the same kind of operation on China, which is really a recipe for World War III. If they continue doing this, it's not good. It is a symbolic resolution, but nonetheless, symbolism has real impact in the world at the end of the day, particularly when it's coming from NATO, Jason.
Well, as they say, symbolism will be their downfall. And I tell you what, watching in all of this, they are going to virtue signal themselves to death here. There is no way out from this point. Their money laundering scam in FTX has collapsed. They're fully exposed. If they lose their own rigged elections, they've lost the House. They've obviously lost the Supreme Court. They've lost Roe versus Wade. They, they, uh, They're about to lose Hunter Biden, and the laptop is about to go down in flames in January when the Republicans take over in the House. Even Kevin McCarthy has been exposed now by taking FTX money in all of this. So there's every chance that he might not end up being the Speaker of the House if this is going on in all of this. And so they can't seem to put a foot right. It's truly astonishing. We watch this. And it is a real seesaw. It's or like a sine wave. We have a good day and a bad day, a good day and a bad day, and just getting the truth out there. But when you start to accumulate what we're seeing now, this is all theater. And yes, it's symbolic, but it is all the world is a stage. So here is NATO going out there and saying, quickly call our opponents the terrorist state because they're bad. And what does that mean? What, they're going to go and get George W. Bush to come out and go and launch a whole new war and look for weapons of mass destruction? I mean, it's all meaningless, isn't it, Jeremy? This is all just pandering to an empire that is literally now looking at itself going over a cliff with no way to come back from this. Because when you tie it into the BRICS currency and the US dollar and the oil and Saudi Arabia moving to the other side, they got nothing left. They're in big, big trouble.
Yes, they are in big trouble, and it seems that they're throwing everything possible at Ukraine, and this is the end game. Now, they also called for, in this resolution, an international tribunal to prosecute Russian officials for alleged war crimes and the reparations as well, full costs, damages, loss injuries that Russia's going to be forced to cough up. Now, they can't do that because Russia, how are they going to cough up? They're not going to cough up. They've done nothing wrong. They're just protecting their nation. How about the poor old Iraqis or the Libyans or the Syrians or all the places where the West has intervened in the regime change operations? How about them being labeled terrorist states? Because here NATO's calling Russia a terrorist state. And really, look at the number of lives that have been lost worldwide in all the wars in recent decades. And you add up the number of lives being lost as a result of Russia going to war on a nation and as a result of United States going to war on a nation. I think the case is very, very clear of which nation would be the terrorist state.
Yeah, it is beyond a joke, isn't it, at this point? But accuse others of which you are guilty seems to be the MO of the great establishment here as it faces the final frontier of its existence. And it seems that what it likes to do is to get out ahead of the curve, accuse again, as I just said, its opponents of which it is guilty. And therefore, when it push comes to shove, they don't get any convictions. They don't get anywhere against their opponents. So it kind of waters it down. And then it makes it look like when the real charges come, it looks like tit for tat and doesn't necessarily get the push along in the public interest for the retaliation. And it seems that we've seen that all too many times in obviously the origins of Russiagate, the fizzer that was the beginning of the John Durham story. Maybe there's more legs in that story for the origins of Russiagate and whether that gets into the FBI, whether they have to sit on that until they get a Republican president, perhaps, who gets to select an attorney general who will actually have some kahunas to take that case on. I don't know what the statute of limitations are in terms of that, but there seems to be so many crimes that have been committed in order to take power in all of this. But we must feel quite confident at this point, Jeremy, that as difficult it is now, when you go out there, and it still feels like it to me, when I'm out there in the general public, it feels like the Truman Show. You still see people wandering around with masks, albeit less these days than they were. But you just simply cannot have those conversations that you might have had, when ordering a coffee in a cafe or something like that, and just having a general chit chat. It's just that people are just so far removed, and they think that it's all sort of normal, and just everything's just a little bit more expensive. So there will have to be one of these great big shockwaves that goes through. I thought it may have been Zelensky getting caught out for a false flag attempt. Imagine him being the first arrest. But it seems to be that it will be something on these lines that will be too much to bear. And it could very well be that FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, might well be, may spill the beans on someone. There might be something coming in there, but there is so much going on, Jeremy.
there could be some big event, but I'm very concerned that that kind of an event could work against us. It could be a false flag operation, which could terrorize the population into more fascism and more obedience to authority. That is a big danger. You know, look what 9/11 did. 9/11 didn't wake up the population. They should have woken up. The whole thing just didn't even go to the laws of physics. Buildings do not just drop at free fall speed like that just because a plane hits them. They should have woken up after that. They didn't. They just got sucked into the war on terror. So that's my concern, is if we do get some big event. And then the other thing is that there are real events, not so much events, but real situations where people will freeze in the winter in Europe. You know, there won't be enough gas, or it will be too expensive. So that will hit people very hard, but will they put two and two together, or will they just fold over and just be grumpy and you know, whine and whinge and not see the solutions?
This is the big mystery, isn't it? And of course, there's more speculation now with the cut in OPEC oil production, and then there's the speculation that they might increase production now moving into December, which is, again, media trying to manipulate narratives. And so what remains to be seen. It's a very precarious moment in human history that we are living right now, and there is just so much going on, and it seems that the news does change by the hour. Terrific report, Jeremy. We're going to talk again tomorrow. Coming up after the break, we're going to have Australian medical royalty. That's right, Dr. Philip Altman is back on the program, and we're going to dissect the news of the moment, and also talk about what's coming and how it is that we're going to escape and survive and prosper in all of this. Don't go anywhere. You're on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Rick Munn.
NHS chiefs in Scotland are discussing having the wealthy pay for their own treatment. So if you're rich and you're Scottish, you'll be expected under Nicola Sturgeon's dictatorship to pay for your own treatment, despite the fact that you're already being taxed up to the hilt, and those taxes allegedly go towards the running and maintenance of the NHS. Let me tell you this, anyone that's sick these days that has a few pounds, or they have a few dollars in their pocket, they're trying to go private. If you're waiting on an NHS waiting list to be seen, to be screened, to be awaiting treatment, I'm not saying this is the case in every case, but it could be a death sentence. So if you're suffering chronic pain, you need a new hip, you have a suspicion that you might have cancer, or so on and so forth, many, many people are going private anyway and paying for this. But you might be thinking, well, what's the big deal with the NHS? The fact is, you're already paying for that treatment anyway through your taxes, but you're not actually getting the service.
He's locked and loaded. Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Well, Dr. Philip Altman is not only a Bachelor of Pharmacy with honours, a Master of Science and a PhD, pharmacologist with expertise in the areas of clinical medical research and pharmaceutical drug regulatory affairs. He joined the industry some 40 years ago became the head of a medical department for a major drug company before starting his own consultancy contract research organization called the Association of Regulatory and Clinical Scientists. His company employed more than 2,000 staff, including scientists, clinicians, associated health professionals, statisticians, pharmacists, and health economists, all involved in both clinical trial work and regulatory affairs projects in both Australia and New Zealand. In over 40 years, he's been designing, managing, and reporting on clinical trials and dealing with the Australian Drug Regulator, that is the TGA, on behalf of his pharmaceutical clients. And he's intimately aware of their regulations and standards. And he used to compile dossiers to submit to the TGA for drug evaluation, including meeting with them face to face. He says that the TGA were world-class in terms of their standard quality of evaluation and highly regarded internationally. And that's why I refer to him as Australian scientific royalty. And I welcome him back to Jason Q, Citizen and Friends. Dr. Altman, welcome.
Hello, Jason. It's nice to be back.
Thank you for coming on again today. And in all of that, isn't it interesting that we can go back and display your credentials out to the world and then realize how far you have come in this 40 years in just the last couple of years, and it's all turned on its head, hasn't it?
It has. It's been a bit of a shock, but not only to me, to a number of other people too. So I'm not alone.
No, certainly not. I think an appropriate place to start in today's conversation is the uselessness of vaccine mandates. And I posted a meme this week and I said, compulsory vaccination is both a tautology and an oxymoron. It's doubling up if it works and meaningless if it does not. And that's the problem that we have, don't we? That compulsory vaccination, if vaccination works, then I don't need to take it. It's my choice. The other person is protected. But if it doesn't work, then I shouldn't be forced to take it at all. And in fact, no one should.
Yes. It doesn't make any sense, right? That's why you can't figure it out, because it doesn't make any sense, because what they're telling us is not the truth. In fact, as I've said in other places before, it was never in doubt that these so-called COVID-19 vaccines did not prevent transmission of the virus. Transmission of the virus for a vaccine was the sole basis for the mandates. And if you read the FDA press statement for the emergency use authorization of the Pfizer vaccine on the 11th of December, 2020, it says specifically that there was no data ever submitted to the FDA to show that the Pfizer vaccine prevented transmission of the virus. And if you read the drug evaluation report, the publicly available drug evaluation report, the OSPAR report that the TGA used to evaluate the Pfizer vaccine for provisional approval, there's nothing there to show that these vaccines prevented transmission. Now, everyone knows this. It's widely known. It was revealed in the European Parliament, as you and your listeners know, by Robert Booz, the member for in the European Parliament a couple weeks ago, perhaps three weeks ago, when he was interviewing a senior member of Pfizer, and she admitted that there was never any data. But if you followed the literature, everyone knew that. Yet, these vaccine mandates were pushed on everyone. So they were extended from the no jab, no play for kids, which I think shouldn't be in place. We can come back to that. But that was extended to no jab, no work. for many, many people. And even to this very day, Qantas, AGL, Telstra, and other companies who know what the facts are still have vaccine mandates in place. And I tell you what, you just have to shake your head and say, why is this happening when it is so destructive to our society? There is no excuse for this. No excuse whatsoever.
No, there certainly isn't. And in interesting news that's just come out this week, Woolworths have removed their vaccine mandate and have invited sacked employees to reapply for their jobs. Like, big deal, Woolworths. These people should be reinstated on full pay. It's it's disgusting how this works. But at the very same time, they've all now made themselves wide open for legal challenges that will come and have already started and been successful for employees who have now sued their employers and have got back pay. So the precedent has now been set, and it would be wonderful for some brave warriors who, whilst they might only be working at Woolworths and it might not be considered to be, you know, a great well-paying job, but for any family, I tell you what, if you're earning, you know, even minimum wage of, say, $800, $900 a week, and you've been out of work for a year, that would be a very handy $40,000 or $50,000 to pick up for Christmas or early next year. So full encouragement to all of those staffers there at Woolworths. And if you know someone who used to work at Woolworths, please let them know that this has gone on. It would be a wonderful way to get some help, and there will be plenty of good lawyers out there in the freedom movement who will be certainly looking at this, and that will be something that we'll follow up on this program. Now, we're going to pause for news headlines. When we come back, we're going to dig deeper into some of the new news that's coming out here as we shake off the cobwebs of vaccine tyranny and move ahead and start to hold these evil medical regimes and their politician overlords to account for the sins of COVID craziness. You're listening to TNT Radio.
Taking a look at your TNT Radio news headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. New Zealand's highest court has ruled the country's voting age of 18 is discriminatory, forcing Parliament to debate lowering it to 16. It has been revealed that conspiracy theorist Alex Jones will not be allowed to return to Twitter, as CEO Elon Musk has said no to him coming back on the platform. And a deepfake video with former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried has gone viral, promising people that he can double their money through a typical cryptocurrencies giveaway scam.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And we're back with Dr. Philip Altman, and it's a high time to remind people that Australian hospitals took unvaccinated people off their organ transplant wait lists, denying life-saving healthcare. And as one person tweeted, think about that for a moment. Risk your life with the jab, or we'll let you die without a transplant. And people still have the gall to pretend there was no coercion. Philip, for mine, the idea of denying people their informed consent and using coercion is as cut and dried as anything I've ever seen, and should be the criminal point where these doctors, these politicians, all of whom went on with this, should be held to account. And if that means that they go to jail, well, so be it. Just because you're in a position of authority and have had a wonderful life before doesn't mean that that's the way that it always goes, because that would indicate that we have a two-speed economy, that only certain people get in trouble and only certain people pay for their crimes. But just because you have a DR in front of your name or an honourable next to it and you're a government minister should not be an excuse in any of this. But when you think about it and you reflect upon it, is this one of those moments where you think, what were they thinking to take unvaccinated people off organ transplant lists?
This is incredible. This is happening right now as we speak. And everyone knows what the scientific facts are. It's inexplicable. Any CEO who is overseeing a vaccine mandate right now and continues it on, I don't see how they can sleep at night. I don't see how they can look themselves in the mirror. They should resign. It just leaves me speechless that the whole world knows what's going on, and yet they continue this on. Anyone who's been affected by these mandates, and really, how can you put a cost against a person who's waiting for a heart transplant? I mean, you just couldn't imagine what they're going through. And I'm actually part of one of those cases now. But those people who are in power right now, who have the ability to remove these mandates, who are sitting on a board or a CEO and don't take action straight away, today, right now, they really have no integrity.
No, it's not only the lack of integrity, but it's almost like they've paralyzed themselves into a corner, into fear, and they must feel like that if we turn and make a new decision, then we admit we've made a mistake or made a liability, so we're going to cover up, which only makes the problem worse. Because at this point, the wherewithal within people who have worked this out, and it's a very common thread, and this is something that's been tested ever since the Emily Oster article in The Atlantic asking for a pandemic amnesty. There is no one out there that is saying, okay, apologize and we'll get on with it. There might be a few people going, you know what, you could start there, but everyone now is saying, no, you don't get to back out from this point now. You have done the crime, now you need to do the time, and whatever that time will is, and it certainly will also have to be money in all of this. Not that money's worth anything anymore, and it's not that we're doing this to enrich ourselves. It's not about that at all. But these people need to be handsomely punished for the crimes against humanity that they've put onto people. And when you think about it, I mean, obviously injury and death and suicide and loss of job and career, so many ways. And of course, the breakup of the family unit, which is probably in all of this one of the most savage, when you think that families wouldn't see each other at Christmas, and clowns like David Koch on Channel 7 were telling people not to come over because of if they're not vaccinated. And how many times, Philip, do we have to say it did not stop transmission? So it meant it had no difference whether you were vaccinated or not. If COVID was in the vicinity and you hung around with each other long enough, you were going to get infected with this virus one way or another. And as it turns out, those that didn't take it tend to fare better because of the natural immunity in their system. And now we're facing a brand new scenario that all of a sudden we're talking about variants on variants on variants on variants that don't seem to appear in countries that have low levels of vaccination, or continents, in fact, like Africa, just doesn't seem to have the same problem. Here in Australia, we're talking about a fourth wave after we've had 95% 16 pluses double jab, 60-something percent tripled, 30% quadruple jabbed, and of course it's the quadruple jab that are making up the majority now of deaths. Well over 50% of deaths are in those that are four jabbed or more. Admittedly, most are still over the age of 70 in all of this. That we're moving into a brand new field here, and two things are happening. We're seeing there is a split, which is wonderful. At long last, people are not putting the masks on, but there is this very subtle hint in positions of authority that I'd like you to comment on, where the masking and in Queensland and in some parts of New South Wales here, put your masks back on. And interestingly, the tyrant himself, Daniel Andrews, is very quiet in this lead up to the election. He's not saying very much at all, but one wonders if he's returned on this Saturday, whether he'll go all out and tell everyone to put their masks back on. What are your thoughts on this whole mask controversy? This is yet another push for power as opposed to a sound medical reason for people to do this at this point. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah. Well, masks are the main tool of fear. Very visual. Everyone sees it. You can actually declare your virtue by wearing one. But if you read the science, and there have been more than 100 papers written on the effectiveness or lack thereof of the effectiveness of masks. Paper and cloth masks have somewhere between zero and near zero efficacy in stopping the transmission of a virus. That is clear. And you will never hear these health bureaucrats refer to any data on masks. In fact, they never refer to much data at all, except the number in hospital, which is not a real number because by definition, they do not distinguish between people with COVID in hospital due to COVID or just with COVID that might not be symptomatic at all. So that's the first thing. But you can see when they're starting to ramp up the fear campaign. The first bus stop is the mask. That's the first one. And you can feel it coming. So I sort of feel that there's something coming now, right? Because they're talking about masks. But just getting back to the amnesty. You know, the amnesty, now knowing what everyone knows, and we've known with some clarity for many, many, many months what the hell's been going on. And there really can be no amnesty. There's just no excuse for it. And people have to be compensated. And you won't be able to fully compensate them because the damage that's been done to the country, to people, has been incredible. And I can only hope and pray that the people in Victoria who suffered the worst, longest lockdowns ever anywhere vote appropriately in these elections. Because what was done is inexcusable. Sweden had fewer COVID deaths per million people with no mandatory masks, no quarantines, no border closures, as compared to 50 countries with harsh lockdowns. That's documented. That is known. Now, how can people, how can bureaucrats, how can politicians not be aware of these sort of facts and yet institute lockdowns? It's anti-science and it's destroying the country.
Yeah, it certainly is. We're reminded in South Dakota, Kristi Noem, the governor there, had no lockdowns, no mask mandates in her state, and performed brilliantly in that time. So there is obviously evidence within that there are many cases that, you know, this has certainly happened. And of course, in any of the states that had the least amount of lockdowns and mandates, et cetera, perform the best. Whilst there'll always be someone coming out and arguing that that's not the case, well, it's certainly proving now that anyone who relied heavily on the vaccine, particularly in Australia, are doing terribly overall in terms of the life of this virus. It just seems to just go on and on and on as people are weakened and are feared into it all. But most people, it seems now, are starting to at least want to move on, and they get this reminder that hangs over their head when of course it flares up again. And for many of us that are suffering, you know, forms of PTSD from being beaten up over the head and being censored in all of this, it is a stark reminder again when they talk about this pandemic amnesty possibility, and then they claim that you know, this is how it should go. Well, hang on a second, you censored us. We were showing you the data. We were showing you the science. It was already there. We were showing you the alternative treatments. You chose to censor it all and to punish. And in fact, Philip, in the next hour, I'll be interviewing Dr. Jackie Stone on the program, who was sent to prison for the work that she did in Africa with ivermectin, for heaven's sake. I mean, this is how hard they go. So when they push this no amnesty stuff, I mean, there is a doctor that goes to jail for a non-crime in all of this. This is such a massive, massive story. And as you said, no amount of money will justify it. But I do make this point in all of this, something that I've been talking about since the very beginning, that when they do go down for it, and they will, that this will cause the greatest financial, what I call a reset, based on the size and scope. And we've had Julian Gillespie on this program talking about this just starting to sort of ramp up. And the only way, it won't be the taxpayer paying for this. This will be the elites of the world, and their trillions and trillions of dollars that they've put apart will all be confiscated. And if it cannot be found, well, we'll just have to replace it, cancel what they own, lock them all up. And that's how the people will have all their mortgages and credit card debts and everything else paid off. And we simply start again. It's that big. If that's the way they want to play the game, well, when the people wake up, they'll be able to play a bigger game. And that's not something that we need to be afraid of in all of this. It's just a way that we need to start thinking now ahead of not just the situation. And this is the wonderful thing we've got. We've got a little bit of time now that we can look and say, hang on a second, this is what you did. This is what you did wrong. This is what you went after us for. You've been proven wrong time and time again. In fact, almost nothing have you been proven right in all of this. And so it is that we can now make our case in all of it. There's a lot more that I'd like to talk about, but we will have to stop for a break. But when we come back, we're going to dig a little bit deeper here with Dr. Philip Altman here on the Jason Q Citizen and Friend program. Don't go anywhere. Of course, you're on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
There are a lot of people in Australia probably wondering if we're ever going to have a summer this year. There's been record-breaking cold across the South Pole, and that air has been traveling northward. And some of it has been getting into Australia. And it looks like over the next week or two, it's going to continue cold. But I do think it will start to warm up in about 15 days. Meanwhile, there is a massive Arctic air that's over central Siberia that's going to be heading southeastward and into the Far East. And parts of China and Japan that have been on the mild side so far this cold season are about to turn brutally cold. In Europe, we're expecting the turn to colder to occur. And as a matter of fact, it seems to me that Europe is going to have a cold December, along with the United States, looking at this overall pattern. And it's something that if you've been listening here on TNT since the summertime, we've been talking about the threat of the early winter. The phony climate war and the insane energy policies may cause a big problem. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi, TNT's climate and weather watchdog, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
I've been driving for most of my life, and I've always been a safe driver. But as I've grown older, driving has become more challenging. Intersections feel busier. Driving in peak hour traffic and travelling longer distances is stressful. And driving at night or in bad weather is risky. Even small mistakes can be costly. Look for the signs. If driving is getting harder, there are alternatives. Make a plan to stop driving on your terms. Don't stop driving by accident. Think Road Safety, a message from the Government of South Australia.
Democracy is under attack. Western governments are trying to regulate the internet to shut down free speech. The UK government controls the internet. Disagree with what government is saying, and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to ofcom.org.uk. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
And welcome back to the program. The movie Died Suddenly that's been promised, this is from Stu Peters, he's the one that's promoting it, has come out in the last few hours and already over 500,000 views when I checked last time, and all over social media people are reporting that they've seen the film and are absolutely shocked and devastated by what they're learning. And these are the people that are watching this blow by blow for the last 3 years. Philip, this is just one of two wonderful new films that have come out. The other one being, of course, the real Anthony Fauci movie that Bobby Kennedy Jr. put out. It is a wonderful position that these events have now been chronicled from different perspectives, but very, very important in all of this. Have you had a chance to see either or both of the films yet?
No, look, it just arrived in my email just this afternoon, and I haven't had a chance to have a look at it. But let me just say, you've secured an interview with Jackie Stone. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Stone has done in the last few months, one of the most impressive studies on ivermectin that's in the literature. It wasn't a huge study, but it was very elegant. And she showed that ivermectin with zinc can rapidly return oxygen saturation levels, which is a critical parameter, a metric that really determines if a COVID-19 patient is returning to health. That is critical. She showed quite elegantly how ivermectin works. A similar sort of study was done by Hassan from the U.S. And these are just two studies amongst more than 90 studies that are very impressive on ivermectin. I was also just reminded this afternoon that my application to remove the restrictions for the prescribing of ivermectin, the one that I wrote to the TGA, is up for review today. So I'm waiting with bated breath to hear the result of that review.
Wow. So is this a situation whereby the TGA may reverse its reversing of its first allowing and then re-banning of ivermectin? Is this the situation?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
a doctor may be able to prescribe ivermectin.
Yeah. That's what they said. They invited submissions from people. Mine was a major one, supported by 50 senior clinicians, academics, medical professional societies, and so forth. It took me a lot of work. I think it was supported by about 55 references, was about 40 pages long. And I hope they take it very seriously, because it just spells out exactly the usefulness of ivermectin and the safety that's been established for that widely used drug.
So if they sit on their hands again and justify an extension of their existing ban on this, citing, which generally is adverse effects, and these adverse effects, by the way, are as terrible as diarrhea. This is the one that they assume that you might suffer from. Could you tell us, Philip, are there any other side effects that they may use to justify? Because at the end of the day, this is it's considered one of the safest medicines in the world. It's no different to how we had the same story for hydroxychloroquine. But when they originally banned it, they justified in Australia that only ivermectin 3 milligrams was the only prescribed drug for ivermectin in Australia, the only dosage, I should say, and only for river blindness. And they said we must keep our ivermectin supplies safe for those that may be affected by river blindness. That's what the TGA actually signed off on when they re-banned ivermectin after allowing it out of the box for about a month. I find that truly astonishing. So you cannot manufacture any ivermectin, and you can't manufacture it in 12 milligram doses that was considered to be the dose. Do they expect to be taken seriously when they make up this nonsense?
No. Look, there was never any shortage of ivermectin. The chief health officer in the UK has said that ivermectin's safe. What we were told was misinformation about ivermectin. It continues to be misinformation. In fact, it's disinformation, because the TGA here have conducted a thorough review of ivermectin, and they reviewed the safety almost a decade ago. And there's a written report online that people can read, and it shows that 10 times the normal dose is safe. So I believe there's something more sinister behind that. That's my personal view. There's been no problem with the supply, and the TGA admitted at the time, actually admitted in writing which was absolutely amazing to me, that they were restricting the distribution of ivermectin basically to force people to get the shot. You know, that's what they said. Now, I've never seen anything like that ever before in my entire life. So that really rocked me.
This is the point, isn't it? Because this is coercive control to restrict one medicine or one's choice for something that's perfectly safe and effective to make them take the alternate, which is marketed as safe and effective, and it turns out it's neither safe nor effective, is the greatest bait and switch and confidence trick ever imposed on the Australian public and certainly the citizens of Earth. And I like to use those terms because people need to understand that this truly is something that's affected the entire planet and has been infected by science turning on its head in truly what is, and I don't understate this, the greatest crime against humanity of all time. And we must hold our heads and our positions firm in all of this, because now is our time in the sun, and any sign of weakness or division, they'll see that and go for it in these moments. But it's truly astonishing. Philip, we've only got a few minutes left, but I want to ask you about this ridiculous story that was published in the Daily Mail, and it's another refresher on all the reasons why. It seems that they come up with ideas to find scientists who do studies to work out that strokes, dementia, and they throw in migraines are the result of climate change. And they've gone and looked at 32 years of studies going back to 1990, and they've mapped out and said that the temperature of Earth has increased by about a quarter or a half a degree over this period of time, and that justifies them realizing that because there were more strokes, more people going to hospital with migraine, can you believe it, and dementia, that therefore there is a link. Now, I would like to have a big neon sign flashing into the imaginations of all of our listeners right now that says correlation does not prove causation, and shove it right back into these scientists' face, because that is the biggest load of bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that's real junk science. Isn't that has to take the gold medal for junk science? They're getting crazier and crazier. But what has happened is that the incidence of stroke and heart attack and people needing stents and Alzheimer's and high blood pressure and things like shingles, right, have exploded in frequency. If you just think about your friends, and I think about my friends, in the last couple of years since these vaccines were released, there's been a huge increase in people with heart attacks and stroke and so forth, high blood pressure, just out of the blue. It does happen, but not at the frequency that we are seeing it. And more and more people around the world are absolutely convinced it is the vaccines. And the vaccines are doing more harm than good. It's just laughable what they're coming up with. And they continue to find excuses to explain the excess deaths that are happening around the world, which are happening between about 17 to 20%, and most of those are not related to COVID at all.
Mm. And the scary part, of course, is that we don't know what the long-term effects are. We're just getting a small snippet now. But as we've often referred to on this program, but the deaths in elite athletes and young people, and of course in children having heart attack and stroke. And I saw a report this morning that they were saying that babies are having heart attacks inside the womb. That requires some more investigation. It just follows on in all of this, that if this is where we're headed today, that this is going to be accepted and justified, then it's high time that the medical profession is held to account. And mRNA for mine stands for medicine's reputation nullified accordingly. It seems that the medical profession is in disrepute at this stage. I don't know how they get out of this. And this is something that we bring up often, but it's going to require completely new leadership. Obviously, new government's going to need a wipeout, but we are going to have to plan for how it is that the medical profession comes back from this at some stage. And of course, this is incrementalism at its best, or it's worse, that we are just going to have to battle with this. But it seems that these are fair conversations to have at this point. In our last sort of 30 or 40 seconds, Philip, can you make a comment on that, how we might be able to repair the medical profession?
Look, there are good people in the profession, and I mix with them on a daily basis. But I tell you what, the bulk of the profession should hang their heads in shame. They know what's going on. They're turning a blind eye. And they're showing no compassion for the suffering of people. They know what's going on. I speak to people all the time, and I don't think the medical profession will recover for a generation.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. Goodness me, it shows you how much work that's going on out there. Now, that's Dr. Philip Altman, who I would call and who is, in fact, medical royalty in Australia. We don't have royalty here, but if you're going to have it, it would be someone like Philip Altman, who is doing the work for all of us. It's truly an astonishing moment. Thank you, Philip, for being on the program. I look forward to speaking to you again in a few weeks' time with the developments. And best of luck, of course, with the TGA hopefully overturning the ivermectin ban based on your own work. Don't go anywhere. News next, Dr. Jackie Stone and Darren from Plymouth after the break.